As we speak, less than 3 hours ago, a 7.3 earthquake in Turkey. So many under the rubble. We will only hear in the following days how many died. Even as we speak, people are suffering across the world in so many different places. And also amongst us here in church this morning, several of us came in with questions in our heart, questions in our mind, seeking, wondering if we will find. That's why I said at the beginning, God is here. We know that from experience. And God is still speaking. Shall we take a few moments of quiet contemplation before our morning prayer? Loving God, even now, right now, your mercy and compassion for us are revealed in so many different ways. So often we like to think that we are in control and can handle things ourselves. God, it's hard for us to ask for help or to depend on others. We get caught up in our individualism, in our desire for independence and self-sufficiency. Our God, we must confess, even you sometimes seem so far away. And we do know that you never moved, and you will not move. You are there. Many of us have moved, not seeking your presence, not reaching out, not seeking your voice in our lives. This morning we want to draw near to you. We need to feel your steady hand. Teach us by your example and steady us by your presence. Be close beside those who are trying to prepare for an uncertain, perhaps frightening future. Call out to those who don't know where to turn anymore. Save them from despair. Guide those who are facing confusing decisions between imperfect options. Rescue those who feel inadequate and guilty before they collapse in hopelessness. Renew us in grace and freedom as we prepare this morning to set out to face another yet unknown week. In your presence, there is no darkness. We are living in times of political strife, mass murders, the slaughtering of innocents. We come asking, searching, knocking. We come in prayer for all those things that rest heavily on our hearts. Hear us as we pray for our world, for peace among nations, and for justice for all your children. We pray for our country, the country that we love, and its leaders, that they may be guided in their decision-making, and that they might govern with compassion and understanding. May the lonely find fellowship, the grief-stricken find comfort, the homeless find shelter, the ill find healing, the angry find inner peace, and the alienated be brought back into community. And then, O God, we pray for ourselves. We want our faith to be renewed. We want to experience your grace, and we want to rest securely in your loving presence. Help us to be still and know that you are God. Purify us, liberate us, and transform us into the persons you would have us be. This we pray in the name of the one who dwelt among us, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from Psalm 90, verses 1 through 7, and then 13 through 17. God, it seems you've been our home forever, long before the mountains were born, long before you brought earth itself to birth. From once upon a time to kingdom come, you are God. So don't return us to the mud saying, back to where you came from. Patience. You've got all the time in the world, whether 1,000 years or a day, it's all the same to you. Are we no more to you than a wispy dream, no more than a blade of grass that springs up gloriously with the rising sun and is cut down without a second thought? Come back, God. How long do we have to wait? And treat your servants with kindness for a change. Surprise us with love at daybreak. Then we'll skip and dance all the day long. Make up for the bad times with some good times. We've seen enough of evil to last us a lifetime. Let your servants see what you're best at, the ways you rule and bless your children. And let the loveliness of our Lord, our God, rest on us, confirming the work that we do. Oh yes, affirm the work that we do.
Our final scripture reading is taken from the Gospel according to Mark chapter 4, only 6 verses. Mark 4, verse 35. Late that day he said to them, "Let's go across to the other side." And they took him in the boat as he was. Other boats came along. A huge storm came up. Waves poured into the boat, threatening to sink it. And Jesus was in the stern, head on a pillow, sleeping. They roused him, saying, "Teacher, is it nothing to you that we're going down? Awake now." He told the wind to pipe down and said to the sea, "Quiet, settle down." The wind ran out of breath. The sea became smooth as glass. And then Jesus reprimanded the disciples, "Why are you such cowards? Don't you have any faith at all?" They were in absolute awe, staggered. "Who is this anyway?" they asked. "Wind and sea at his beck and call." Here ends our scripture reading. May it be that we become aware that God speaks to us through his Spirit, even this very morning. Now, the story that I just read, no news to anybody in church this morning, I know that. We all grew up with this story, didn't we? I don't know about you, but for me, during my younger days, this biblical story didn't impress me all that very much. It actually left me with only one message. Am I talking about myself as a child in a high school student? You see, the way I understood it, it had only to do with one thing, and that how marvelous and how powerful Jesus was, that he even could perform this type of miracle, commanding the wind and sea. For me, that was it. Impressive, yeah, but there are many stories like that in the Bible, nothing more. Now, for many in our times, nothing has changed. It's still just a story of long ago, unrelated to our times. And just think what our world is coping with right now. It actually pales in significance during times like these. Little boat on the ocean far away. Well, look at our times. The entire world, America included, is facing an almost unbelievable series of weather-related and other catastrophes. Dictatorships are tumbling, and in many places across the earth, people are taking to the streets with anger, many of them with helplessness, taking the law into their own hands in rebellion against their fate. So one could ask, now where do this story about Jesus and his followers on the Sea of Galilee fit in? My younger days, I had the privilege of taking 12 different groups of parishioners from South Africa to the Holy Land. And I never let go of the opportunity. I made sure that we got a boat trip on the Sea of Galilee. And I arranged with the boater right in the middle of the Sea of Galilee to stop the boat, and then I would read this passage, and then we would have our devotion together on that boat. Been there, done that. See, that's a problem that we're dealing with. As a child, I was taught to believe the story in the literal sense. Nothing more. Many people still do that, literally as it's written, disregarding anything else. And with that upbringing, I missed the boat for all those years. Never really got into the boat. See, Mark's biblical story actually challenges us to consider only two questions. Yes, this is the biblical story, wonderfully recorded. But you have to look deeper. You need a deeper understanding. What does this stand for? What is it all about? Mark's biblical story actually challenges us to consider only two questions. The first question is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus really? And the second is, do you or will you trust this Jesus? You know how much the disciples got on both these two counts? Zero. They failed them both. And I guess that's very close to the heart of the story. Even though they were followers of Jesus, they are incapable of trusting in his love and care for them. One could say, well, we know the Sea of Galilee, and many of them were career fishers, actually, before they met Jesus. Something about this story, you can almost see the opposite side of the Sea of Galilee from this side. Experienced people Why did they get into that boat in the first instance? Didn't they know better? Didn't they see the weather coming? No, that's not what it's all about. Fear, doubt, and insecurity overwhelm the disciples on this stormy voyage in spite of the presence of Jesus of Nazareth. So in the story, when the disciples finally decided to wake Jesus up, they were already in a state of near panic. How could he be so calm? And naturally, as most people would do, their first thoughts were that he didn't really care for them and their safety. No, he's fast asleep. Just look at him in the stern of the boat. And today we have dug a bit deeper. We understand better. They had something very important to realize. They needed to learn. They needed to understand how to deal with fear and panic. We know the biblical stories. This was nothing in comparison what was about to happen. Just a very, very little while later when they entered Jerusalem. Soon afterwards, Jesus knew they would be confronted with even greater fears and sorrows. But this time, with a real difference. Jesus wouldn't be with them much longer. Jesus was already preparing them for the storms ahead. Yeah, soon they will begin the journey to Jerusalem, where the shadow of the cross was already looming. We know American history. We were told that we have nothing to fear but fear itself. That's modern times. But this is how the disciples learned their lesson. So they asked, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Is that so unfamiliar? God, don't you care what's happening to me? Many of us have asked the same question at some time, at least in our lives. We've all been through storms, and there's more coming for all of us. And when we encounter our personal storms on life's heavy seas, the question will come. Some of you brought that question into the sanctuary this morning. Does God really care? Does God really care? Or is God asleep in the stern of our boats? Now we all go through the storms of life at some other time. Many personal relationships end with a storm. So much beauty and love gets destroyed in an ugly divorce. Now, made me think, a certain couple was celebrating their golden wedding anniversary, and I think that woman had a secret. She told the secret of their long and their happy marriage, and she said, "You know, on my wedding day, I decided to make a list of 5 faults, which, for the sake of our marriage, I would overlook in my new husband." Now, of course, everyone wanted her to tell what those 5 faults would be that she was going to overlook. And she was asked to answer the question. Well, she replied, "Well, to tell you the truth, I never did get around to listing them. But whenever my husband did something, though, that made me hopping mad, I would say to myself, lucky for him, that's 1 of the 5. Storms are raging in so many lives. It could be that you came to church today in the hope to hear some form of reassurance, a voice speaking inside the same as the followers of Jesus were supposed to have heard amidst the storm that they were in. Peace. Be still. Fear no more. For instance, the loss of a loved one can be a terrible storm with devastating effects. Research on the mortality rate, I find difficult to believe it, but that is actual research of 4,500 people within 6 months of their spouse's deaths. They passed away. 40% passed away in that period. Their mortality rate rose by 40%. Wow. Still don't believe it. But that's what the census said. What greater storm can we go through than the loss of a loved one? I know this church, been here 10 years. Many of you have been here much longer. And there's an empty spot beside many of you that used to be filled before. Some of you are still dealing with that same deep hurt that seems to never go away. Amongst the most horrible things that happen in this world is the loss of a spouse or a child. But life storms take on so many different forms. There are people in church this morning facing financial ruin that they never would thought would happen in their lives. Feeling the pressure of the uncertain times that we're living in. For some, the dollars are too few for the road ahead that can be a very long one. Don't ask me, I know. I've spoken to some of them this very week. Many simply cannot make the ends meet anymore. That's not all. Others have enough money, but they are suffering because of their personal failures. Not having lived up to the standards that they have set for themselves, they are now facing a life lived in vain. Say, oh, what did I do with all my years? Now my step is slowed down. My eyes grow dim. My ears aren't what they used to be. All my life I've spent in vain. Somewhere their self-esteem, their self-respect were fractured. And now the winds are howling over their heads, over their hands. Whatever the storm, many are distressed at the fact, where are you, Jesus? Where are you, God? The Master seems to be asleep for many. Why doesn't God intervene? I've heard that question asked. How can God allow that to happen? A cry of distress is rising across the world. That's a difficult question, is it not? Where is God in my distress? I had the privilege to be in universities on 3 different continents, and I can assure you that's one question that I had discussed in 3 different places of the world in under circumstances that we all share in the world. Why doesn't God intervene? That's a difficult question. Where's God? God? Do you not care that we are perishing? Do my fears and my heartaches really matter to you, God? Is there anyone who sees and understands? Teacher, do you not care that we perish? See? Back in the boat. Back in the boat. The cry of the disciples is a cry that many of us echo right now, this moment. The central question in our faith life is not how many storms we have to pass through. The question is not even how fierce the storm is. The question is whether we have faith and conviction that can help us weather every storm that comes our way. See, it boils back to that happening in the boat. Where is your faith? Have you no conviction? We all know that bad things happen to good people, all people, good or bad. We all know, realists amongst us at least, that there is no magic wand that will safeguard some people from raging storms and others not. The storms will come and you and I are not going to avoid them. Listen, disciples, if you think this is bad, there's much more coming your way and soon. But, and that's the great but, hear the gospel. There is a difference. When the storms rage, we still have the Master on board. So as one of God's people, you and I can take a break this morning and we can rejoice in our faith. And we can thank God that God has revealed Himself to us. Oh, I'm standing on a rock. And although I'm trembling on that rock, I have one assurance, that rock will never tremble under me. Do you believe in a God who loves you and has promised never to forsake you and be with you even as you enter the valley of death? Some people seem to think it's God who's killing me. They don't realize that God is by their side. There's a difference. Do you believe that however dark the clouds may be, behind those clouds, the sun still shines? The big question has also a New Testament challenge for many. Do you believe that beyond every cross, there is a living Christ? Friend, brother, sister, if you do, let me tell you this morning, you can weather every storm, however severe. Many years ago, my second church, a family was in a horrible street accident. And two of them died instantly. Others died a few days later. And I remember standing by the bedside of an elderly lady, part of that family. And I spoke with her, not sure that she understood. I remember her weak voice. Very, very soon, I'm going to see my Lord. And I had a story to tell. I had a story to tell when I held that funeral. When I conducted it, I knew I could say to the people when the storm was its fiercest in her life, when everything else fell away, God was by her side. She sensed it. And He pulled her safely through. Is your faith your own? I want to tell you, you cannot inherit the faith of your parents, of your grandparents, say, well, that's a family thing with us. You cannot rely on the faith of other people. God has no grandchildren at all, not even one. They're all His children. You cannot inherit faith or from anyone else. It's a personal thing. It calls for a personal decision. Lord, I will follow You from this moment on, from this day onward. The fisher folk of Brittany have the tradition to utter a simple prayer every time when they launch their boats upon the deep. Keep me, O God, Your sea is so great. My boat is so small. It might be your golden day today. It might be the time for you this morning to allow your faith to discover that God is in your boat. After all, that is the message. You will never, never walk alone. Fear no longer. Hear the voice of the gospel. Listen to the sound of God's voice rising above your storm. Peace, be still. The voice is saying to you and me, peace, be still. Don't you know? I am with you to the very, very end. O God, thank you for this assurance. Amen.